Okay, so today's, so this week we're going to learn Daf, I think we're into Daf Chaf Gimel. So, right, we're going to start on the top of Daf Chaf Gimel and Aleph. Okay, so there the Gemara, the Mishnah was describing the method essentially to do the Malkus. And the Gemara is going to, this week we're going to learn in depth in Daf Chaf Gimel Aleph exactly what the methodology is, and to some of the details, the reasons for them. So the Gemara starts, and we're going to read hopefully from the Gemara all the way to the Mishnah, and we'll do some couple points here and there. So the first thing we're talking about is the Gemara says, "My Taima, what's the reason? What's the reason why?" How do you do that? I'm sorry. So what do? You take you take his hands and you tie them on the pole, and then you beat him. And if his garment rips, it rips. If it rips on the seam, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So the Gemara asks, "My Taima, why are we doing all this?" So the Gemara says, "Mishum Nikla, because we're embarrassing him. We want to embarrass him." That's the Gemara says. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin Leritzua. Shehishal Egel. Okay, so now we're trying to get to some of the symbolism here, or some of the details. The strap has to be made of a calf. Okay? That's what the Mishnah said, that the strap to whip the person needs to be made of a calf. So why is that? So the Pasuk said, Dechsiv, Arbaim Yakenu, Vesamichle, Lo Sachsam Shor Bedishal. So what's interesting is that what we generally have this juxtaposition of the obligation to give Malkus and the prohibition of muzzling an animal to tell you that only violation of prohibition similar to lo sach som shor bedisho you get Malkus for. In other words, by muzzling an animal you're doing an action, so only prohibitions within actions you get Malkus for. So, but here we're saying something different. Because it says lo sach som shor bedisho, so apparently, the Gemara wants to say that the context, again, in Sefer Devarim, it's all about context. It's not only what's written, especially Sefer Devarim. It's not only what's written, it's what's written before and after it. So the fact that Torah tells you that lo sachsum shor bedisho, so it tells you what? You should use a what? What would you think you should use? And there's what's it tell you? That, so we see from this pasuk, you have to use a calf. Do we actually see from this puzzle you should use a calf in the juxtaposition? What does it? What would it indicate?
An egel.
Well, right. That's what the Mishnah says. But if we're learning the source because of the juxtaposition of lo sachsum shor bedisho and arbar miyakenu, then what would you think you should use? This trap from where? Not from an egel, but from where?
An ox.
An ox. Right. So
that's common. I mean, it's common to associate, for example, the idea of paraduma, the idea of not having an egel on Yom Kippur, or not having a car, or having a par on Yom Kippur, the age doesn't seem to matter. In other words, the whole species, the bovine species, seems to be associated with the chayta egel.
Right. Okay. So the Aruch Lader, I, you're right. The Aruch Lader sort of says this, and he brings a proof for this. In fact, the Aruch Lader says in the first source, the Gemara minayin l'ritzu shishol egel, ein lahakshos. Don't ask. Habikra de lo sachshom lo ksiv rak shor. The Torah says shor. So if you really want to be precise, you should require a shor. V'havele likach ritzu shel shor. You should take a strap made of an ox. B'yeish lomar. What can we answer? Habrin and bavakam. Behold, we say in bavakama, to shor ben yomo karoi shor, that an ox, even if it's one day old, it's still called a shor. Now, obviously, an egel is a young ox, I guess, or from that species, minichsiv, shor o kesev o eis ki valeid. It's called a shor once it's born. V'lachein shelo sachsom egel kisha b'sheosa malachas disha gam hu bichlal halav. So when the Torah says don't muzzle an animal when it's threshing, that would also apply to the eagle as well, because an eagle is defined in the Torah also as a shor. Velochim or ha'egel. So that fine. So fine. So we have two. Both a shore could be a shore, and an egel could also be a shore. So why do you use an egel? Velochim or ha'egel shirach yosef aroy yoser liritzua. It's softer, apparently. The skin of a calf is soft. I've never, I don't do this for a living, feel them, but apparently the skin of a calf is softer, and it's more fit for a strap. So that's why you use it. But it's not. I think Marty's correct. It's part of the same species, but it's even more than that. The Torah recognizes that, and the Torah even calls a young shore. It's still defined as a shore. Okay. Right, we're going to talk about a whole. Now we're going to give. And what the Torah is going to do now is going to give a whole bunch of halachos that we learned, not necessarily related to Malkus, about this concept of smichos aparshios. Okay, remember this is something that you find a lot in Sefer Devarim, where we have a lot of mitzvos that are repeated, and we learn extra halachos because of not only what's written but what's written next to it. Okay, so some of these are not related necessarily to Malkus, but there are just other smichos aparshios. The Amar, because again, these are things that Rav Sheshes ben said in the name of Rolazar ben Azariah of Smichos Aparshas. That's the connection here. Vamar Rav Sheshes b'shum Rav Rolazar ben Azariah. Minayin liyuvama shenafla lifnei muka shchid she'ein chosmin osa. Okay, how do we know that a yuvama who falls in front of someone who's a muka shchid? What's a muka shchid? Someone who has like really a lot of boils on his skin, and he's someone who is really, really sickly. Okay, very not so pleasant to look at, and he's very sickly. And she doesn't want to marry this guy. This guy's a really what's a yibum? Yibum is where a man is married to a woman, and the man dies, no children. So she's supposed to marry the brother, but let's say the brother is like really. He's a mukashchin. He's really repulsive. So let's say she doesn't want to marry him. So how do you know that? So how do you know she'ain chosmim osa, that you don't stop her mouth from making that claim? D'chsiv lo tachsam shor b'disho usmich le ki yeshu achim yachtav. It's not so nice calling a woman an ox here. So, I mean, she's not really an ox, obviously. But we're saying that we don't muzzle an ox when it's threshing. So we say we don't stop someone up when they want to open their mouth. And how is that relevant in the next topic of yibum? So that means we don't stop the yavama when she doesn't want to do yibum under some circumstances. So in order to appreciate this halacha, let's first read the psukim. I have it in the second source. So we understand this. We know that, for example, according to Torah law, a woman she cannot get married against her will, but she can get divorced against her will. There are certain things that according to Torah law that the man has certain rights, and today's day and age we try to equal them out. So what about yibum? Like, we don't think about so much about yibum. Does the man have the right to refuse? We know that there's a procedure called chalitza. Is chalitza done when only the man doesn't want, when only the woman doesn't want, when both don't want? Like, when do we do chalitza? Chalitza is where he doesn't do yibum and they do chalitza. So, is this an option of either party? Do both have to agree? What do you think, Joey?
I think it's the man's option.
You think it's the man's option? Okay. It's a man's world, it comes to this. Okay, so the simple reading of the Torah is what you're saying. If you read Parshas Ki Tse, Perachafei, Psukim, Zayin to Yud, Vim lo yachpos ha'ish, if the man doesn't want to lokachas yivimto, to take the yivaba, v'olsa yivimto hashara, and she goes up to the gate, elas came to the elders, v'amran, she says, mein yivami lakim lachiv shev, v'sho lova yavmi, and she says that he doesn't want to do yibum. V'karu lo ziknei iro v'dibru eila v'amad v'amar lo chafatsi lakachta, and the elders of the city call out to him, and they say to him, and he stands and he says, I don't want to get married to her. Venigsha Yavimto, a love lady as a Kadia, and she comes close to him, to the elder, to by the Kadia, Bechol Tzadalo Be'al Raglo, V'yarka Befodav, she does the whole spitting with the Chalitza. Vansav Amran, she says, Kacha Yesalisha Lo Yivne Es Beisachi, right? He's supposed to get married. He's supposed to build up the house of his brother. And he doesn't want to do it. So they do this whole procedure. What this seems to indicate, it's all about the man. If the man wants to do it, then he can. If he doesn't want to do it, then he cannot. That he doesn't do evil. And then, so then what are we saying? And then we're saying that in a case of mukashrin, the woman, it seems the man can decide for any reason that he doesn't want to marry her. And now, because of smichus haparshios, because of the juxtaposition of these two sections, so then it says we don't silence someone, right? We don't, there's, why does it say lo sachem shorbadisho right by the mitzvah of yibum? Because what are we saying? We don't silence the woman, when she claims what? Mukashrin. She says he's too repulsive. I don't want to marry him. And then, at least according to this Gemara, this would seem to indicate that she also has the right. Well, does it seem that way? Does she always have the right to refuse?
Only if he's very repulsive.
Right, so that's just a question. Right, so that's we're going to see. So that's the question that we'll spend a few minutes on. The man seems he can refuse to marry her under any conditions. The woman, is mukashrin an example, or is it only if she has a real claim that she doesn't want to do yibum with him, then it has to be something like really serious, like mukashrin. But if not mukashrin, then maybe she has to marry him, right? So that's actually, it's a machlokis Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos. So I just, we'll learn a bit about that. Just an interesting thing. We don't, when we think about, you know, agunos, and we, again, this is not so relevant because yibum is not so relevant now. But we think about agunos, who are the rights of men and women vis-a-vis marriage. So what, you know, for chalitza versus yibum, who has the right to say, I don't want to do yibum? So Rashi and Yevamos, Daf Labates of Adei, says, Hecha dehu tzavi li yivube ve'i amar lo ba'idalei. So Rashi says, we don't force yibum. So Rashi says, where if he wants to do yibum, she says, I don't want. V'amar dvar nikarim, or, and she says, you know, things that make sense. Imatzinu la tuye v'lomar lo chalotz la almanas chalotz la almanas shetite lach masayim zuz matina le. And if he wants to claim, if we want to say, you know, do chalitza to her, and then she'll give you 200 zuz, so she can get out of it. I mean, it's called extortion. Matina le. So maybe we trick him to do that. Vilo kafina le. Otherwise, we force him v'chalitz. But the Rashi says that we can force him to do chalitza. Dam Rav Sheshes, minayin li yavama shenaflik v'nei mukashchid, shein chos b'malsa. So Rashi cites our Gemara, or the Gemara in Yavamos, and also our Gemara that says that if she wants, she can say, I don't want to get married. V'lo tema mukashchid dafka. Don't say only a mukashchid. Ela kol amasa shetiten lidvareha. Any case, it has to be something. I don't know what the legal threshold is, but she has to give some excuse, some reason why she doesn't want to get married to him, and then she won't, and then they will, and then the courts will not force it, will force them to do chalitza. Damar Bahamadir, that we find in Maseches Ksuvos, Maisa be Tzaidon Babursi Shemes. V'lo ach bursi, v'amru chacham yichol l'shitamar la'achicha, ha'yisi yichol l'kabel, v'loch ein yichol l'kabel. So we have a story where basically there was someone who died in Sidon, and then he had a brother, and she said, I want to marry you. And they said, fine. V'od paskina chelkosa be'afal pi, also besach s'ksubas kosi b'geres merit ala rusa, v'ein kosi b'geres merit al shemeres yavam. Also, that we can will write a letter of rebellion on an arusa who doesn't want to get married, but we're not going to write a letter of rebellion on a woman who's supposed to perform yibud and she doesn't want to do it. Rashi is of the opinion that if a woman gives any reason, that the mukashrin is only an example. as opposed to Tosfos. It's a lengthy Tosfos. I just brought a piece here from Tosfos.
It could be as simple as she's not attracted to him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I'm saying I don't know the exact threshold. I don't know the exact threshold. It says, I mean, it seems that way, Ben, because it says, it seems to say here, in one of the examples here of Rashi, he says, V'loch eni yechol lekabel, I still want it. Yeah, it seems like any it seems any reason. It seems a very low threshold.
No, it's not. The brother was a tanner. It was a boar seed, and they smell terrible, and they look terrible.
For you, I can hear, but you don't.
I'm able to tolerate it from your brother, but I will not be able to tolerate it from you.
The smell. You say the smell.
And being married to a boar seed in general, involving the smell and other things.
Right. But, so the question is, what's the threshold? Right. But I'm saying it would seem to be any kind of. It would seem like Rashi seems to have a pretty low threshold. I'm saying I don't know if he says.
It doesn't seem to make sense that by kedushin she has to be able to accept, and by yibum
she doesn't have to accept by kedushin.
No,
she doesn't have to accept by kedushin. Really? You can just go up to a girl and get me and say I want to get married to you.
What?
You can't just go up to a girl and say I'm getting married to you.
No, that's what I'm saying. She has to accept.
Okay, in other words, you're saying if she has to consent to marriage, why must she consent? And the answer is that if she's married to a man and the man dies,
right,
at that moment she's not allowed to marry someone else. She is attached. She's halachically attached to this other man. So it's a totally different
situation. But Rashi's nevertheless saying
100%.
She can
do chalitza, right? In other words, the example of the Torah. In other words, when the Torah says they do chalitza if the man doesn't want, that's just an example. But really, or from the juxtaposition, the woman could also make the same claim.
It seems to me that the Torah is trying to make a connection to hopefully keep the legacy of the brother,
right,
dead brother alive.
That's why I mentioned only the brother. Right. I agree with you.
But
right. Okay, maybe, or they feel, or the Torah feels that the importance of carry on the legacy is more important.
It's better for society to get this woman married and taken care of, and that's.
I don't know. I mean,
Shalom bias is always paramount. It doesn't seem to make sense. That it seems to make sense that they're trying to say, let's make this happen if we can, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
You can make that argument, therefore, say, if a woman wants to get divorced, she should also be able to get divorced against her own will. You can make the exact same argument, and Torah clearly doesn't hold like that. I'm not saying it's hard for us to picture why that's so.
Divorce means you're already married.
But that's the point. The point is the Torah understands that there is already this kind of connection. I'm just saying, Shalom Bayis doesn't always win over everything.
Right, okay.
In any case, so but if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says Rashi was more equality, I guess. I would say whatever. He allows women to back out of Yibum. Tosfos says that he says not that way. Tosfos says Perish Bekutras. He says Kidicha Tavayel Yadav Ein Kofi Lachlos Bishubitzvah. Okay, so he cites Rashi, and then he says in the third line, he says Nira the Ain Raya. It's no proof from the case of the Mukashchid of the Borsi. Shehein may also Jikofer Lotzi Minabal, because those are examples. If basically you're allowed to, a woman is allowed to, like the courts will force a woman to get divorced from her husband from his wife. If, let's say, he develops mukeshchin, if he actually becomes repulsive, or he's a tanner, he smells really bad. The kofin. It doesn't seem to be the case that in other cases that we force. And in fact, in the case of this, the Gemara Ksuvos, where it talks about we don't write a letter of rebellion of a Shemeres Yavam, he said that's only according to Abishal. Abishal holds that nowadays, since people don't have the right intention to do Yibum, their attention is supposed to be, I'm going to continue the legacy of my my brother, that's not what they want to, you know, that's not their intention. And therefore, he said we should do chalitza as opposed to yibo. The Shulchan Aruch actually passes like Tosfos. He says that she only has the right to do chalitza if he is, this is in Ebenezer, Simon Kuf Samachay Sif Dalet, only if he is a Mukah Shchid or one of the other Mumim, then she does not have the right unilaterally to do chalitza as opposed to yibo. That being said, it's kind of irrelevant because, or at least for Ashkenazim, because we generally hold that nowadays chalitza is preferred over yibum in general. Now, since people don't have the right intentions, that's a debate in the Gemara, since people don't have the right intentions, we're going to do chalitza instead of yibum. That was a big thing, I believe, Rav Avadi Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. I think that was a debate Ashkenazim and Sephardim about this. And in Eretz Yisrael, for all the time, they were going to do chalitza as opposed to yibum. And Rabbi Yosef felt, I think he tried to bring it back and say, no, you should try to do yibum if you can, not automatically chalitza. I think that was a...
We do chalitza today.
We do chalitza today, yeah, yeah. 100% we do chalitza today, yeah. No, you have to. A woman can't remarry unless they do... she can't remarry unless chalitza is done. So...
Rabbi, yeah. Tosfos, of course, understands there is hataya because the Gemara talks about it. He says if you can't do hataya, you can't be kofet.
Right.
So, for example, there's a story in Yevamos, I remember, where one of the great chachamim was dealing with a yibam, a chalitza, and he saw the girl's mother was very against the chalitza. So he spoke to her privately and said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "I know this guy who was my sister's brother-in-law, and he's a terrible guy. He doesn't want to do the mitzvah. He doesn't want to marry her. He knows she's going to inherit a lot of money from her father, and that's the only reason he wants to marry her." So then the chacham said, "All right," and he told the guy, if you give her chalitza, you're going to get a lot of money." And he gave her chalitza. It was a trip. He didn't get a lot of money, but apparently the Gemara says that you can do in an appropriate case, even if you can't be kosher.
I think that's what Rashi's talking.
Tosfos is saying you could do hataya.
Yeah, that's what Rashi's quoting. Rashi's quoting. Marty, I think Rashi's quoting this Hataya. That's how you could do that. That's the
no, and Tosfos is saying, Tosfos says you can do it too, but Tosfos won't go with Kfiyo. Rashi's more with Kfiyo, like you call for it again.
Right. But I'm saying that what you're saying is quoted in Rashi, this Hataya.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
But Tosfos says...
Tosfos also holds of Hataya, yes.
Right.
Right.
If you can't do Hataya, then you're kofa.
Right. That's the question is, you're sort of, Tosfos understand, they both understand that, I don't know if we want to use Ben's law, Shalom Bias or equity, the woman doesn't want to be part of this, so we want to do what we can. So the question is, what are the limits? So just like we try to do what we can when it comes to a woman who's stuck in a marriage she doesn't want to be in, we try to get her out of it within the bound, but we serve your bound by what the Torah says. So it's just a question also here. In other words, Rashi really understands that the Mukah Shchin is just an example. But Tosfos, like you said, Marty, Tosfos says, no, the Torah only allows the man the right to choose chalitza, but you could do whatever you want to try to make sure that, it's a trick if need be. Yeah.
Why would the Gemara use such an extreme example, Mukah Shchin, disgusting boils? If she doesn't appeal, he doesn't appeal.
No.
So it's saying that
he has
a good reason,
Right. Right, yeah. See, that's Tosfos's argument. He's giving this specific case, a really bad case. Maybe it's just like, maybe it's giving like a common case, but not only that case. I hear what you're saying, right. You're making Tosfos's argument. You're saying that it's only if it's a mukah shchid. Maybe you can respond that why should there be, if we're learning from lo tafsum shor b'disha, that we don't silence her, whatever claim she wants to make, why should you make that distinction? Now there's maybe, once we're saying we allow her to say something, I agree with you, you go to the Gemara, he's specifying mukah shchid, but maybe the Torah is saying lo tafsum shor b'disha, so maybe why is it only a mukah shchid, not something else? So maybe that's the back and forth, what's pressure one way or the other, that's what I'm thinking. But okay, so the Gemara now continues. So this is a Smichus Parshus. So the next thing that there's a Smichus Parshus issue is the Anyone who disgraces the Moadim, it's like you're Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay? So I have something of that also. And why does it say that? Tichsiv, Elohei Masecha lo tasalach, v'samech le'chagamata tishbor. So it says, you know, it says, don't make idols, and you should observe chagamata. So if you're Mavaz of the Moadim, so what are the Moadim? What are the Moadim? The Shol Shigolim. So how are you Mavaz at?
It's called Moed Primer.
Maybe. Okay, that's my question. So why are you saying it's called Moed?
Because that's usually Mavaz of Samoed. Those usually refers to someone who's
negative. I understand, but why can't you say it's referring to Yom Tov itself?
You could. Okay. I don't think that's what most Gemara is saying, but I think you could.
What? But there's no Yerushalayim here. It doesn't go to Yerushalayim. So you're Mavaz of the Moedos. I'm saying, why are we assuming it's Chol HaMoed as opposed to... You're saying, because Marty, whenever it says that, it means that. But why does it mean that when it says that?
Why isn't
Hamavaz of the Moedos referred to Yom Tov itself? Like, what's the argument to say? Okay, you can say, well, the Rivan says, I think, what you're saying here. He says the Moedos is Chol HaShemoed. The question is, why is he saying that? Why is he assuming it's Chol HaMoed? As opposed to, right? Why is he saying that? If the Gemara meant to say not Chol HaMoed but Yom Tov, what might it have said instead of how would it have said it differently? You said Yom Tov.
That's
a Yom Tov. So Moed refers to Chol HaMoed. Okay. There's something called the Be'er Sheva. It's an achron, and he says here. He wants to say, "V'nir Elisha, who chach lefarz kibi nakar mavazev lo nakar hamachalel." He said the lashon of mechalel would be mechalel yom tov. Mavazev would probably be that's more of disgracing chol hamoed. Alma she'enim medaber b'yom tov atzma lo b'chol shamoed. The whole of enim chamurim ki yom tov, eno choshesh. Since it's not as strict as yom tov, eno choshesh l'shamrom v'asiyas malacha. You don't have to keep, there's still some restrictions regarding melacha and chol hamoed. Oshinoi ben minot chol ba'chilo shtia. You eat and drink just like you would, you know, regularly during the week. You don't treat it at whatever the rules are for chol hamoed. V'yoser nachon be'inai lomar derashi l'tayma ozil. This is obviously the Rivan. The sfira lei, he wants it like this. The melacha b'chol hamoed aser minat Torah. He says maybe the Rashi holds that Chol HaMoed is aser min hat, that Malacha is aser min hatar. There's a major debate. There are really three ways to look at this. Is Chol HaMoed is Malacha and Chol HaMoed, is that aser midaraisa or midrabanan? And there's sort of like a third approach. But the concept is doraisa, but the Torah gives the rabbis the right to determine which Malacha is forbidden or not. But that's the question. Is Malacha and Chol HaMoed doraisa midrabanan? So we're saying a mavazas hamodos, the Be'er Sheva wants to say, that's Chol HaMoed because, and it makes sense because, oh, Yom Tov, yeah, Yom Tov I'm going to keep. But Chol HaMoed, the Malacha, so he probably holds that's Aser Midoraisa. Right? So he says, Gabe, Elafilu B'moed, Aser Midoraisa, etc. V'lachain Perish Nami, Ahadam Ravshish, Perik Elalokin. Chol Mavaza Es Hamodos, Kila Oved Avodah Zarah. So in other words, it makes sense that we're talking about Doraisas. Why? Because we're talking about Psukim. We're saying, it said what? As Chagamatzos Tishbor, Lohei Matzach Lo Taselach. The Torah is quoting Psukim. So obviously we're talking about a Torah prohibition. So probably we're talking about, so here it says, he must hold that Chol HaMoed is an Isser Doraisa. Uperish Rashi in Makos as Hamoedos. It's really Rivan. Cholo Shamoed as Chagamashos Tishmar Mefarsh BeChagiga in Berishon V'Shvi HaRekvar Amur Halo Balahazil Cholo Shamoed. Okay, and then he wants to say the third to last line, but Tosus argues, and Tosus says, why? Because Tosus holds that Malacha and Cholo Moed is only Midrabana, and then he said L'fi Divrei Hadamar Rishis Mazas Hamoedos Haina Yom Tov Atzmo. And then he wants to say the Rambam also says that the mitzvah of kavod, the Rambam says, okay, well, let's do the Tosa and the Rambam. In other words, the Be'er Sheva wants to say like this. Mavazes Amodos, the corner Rashi, he said, we're talking about Doraisas here, because they're quoting Psukim to prove their point. So corner Rashi, who holds that the prohibition of Malacha is a Doraisa on Chol HaMoed, so he's going to say we're talking about Chol HaMoed. Okay? And it's Mavazah, because like you're not going to take it seriously, because Yom Tov you take seriously, but Chol HaMoed is not so serious. And but Tosos, who holds that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is only Derabbanan, they have to hold that we're talking about an Isser Doraisa, so therefore Tosos will hold it's Yom Tov itself. And he also says the Rambam holds that Mavazah Samodos, that's referring to Kibud and Onog of Yom Tov itself. So there are different opinions about this issue regarding. The question is, why does it lead to, why if you're Mavazah the Moedos, does it lead to Avodah Zarah? So the Me'iri I have here in the next page, he says, Harehu Koveh Avodah Zarah, again, the Psukim connect, but he says, Mibnei Sheyesh Bezilzulan Sad Kfira, Be'amuna, Gemul Va'onesh. So if you don't, if you mavazah the modo, say so, you know you don't take Yom Tov seriously. That's you know when a Kadosh Baruch Hu engaged in hashgacha pratis, you know to help to do good to Klal Yisrael. So it seems like you may deny the faith. You know you have faith issues in terms of reward and punishment. V'yimshoch mizet sad kfir b'chidush ha'olam k'moshe. No del mevinim. So now there's a lot, like I guess the myriads of the opinion that if we take Yom Tov seriously, what Yom Tov is all about, we're thinking about what Hashem did for us. There are many many basic fundamental principles of faith that we should be working on, that we learn from Yom Tov. So therefore, if we do Malach on Yom Tov, so we obviously don't take those lessons very seriously. Okay, the Gemara continues. Kol ha misaper lashon hara v'chol makabel lashon hara v'chol amed edi sheker roy lashicha leklavim. Anyone who speaks lashon hara, and anyone who listens and accepts the lashon hara as truthful, and anyone who testifies falsely, is you should throw him to the dogs. Dichsiv lakelav tashlichud also, just throw him to the dogs. The samich lei, and it's connected to what? Lo sisa shema shav. Karibe nami lo sashi. So it says, do not bear a false, how would you say, shema, I guess testimony, but you could also read it as if it says lo tasi. Don't cause others to hear a false testimony. Meaning what? Or don't cause someone else to hear false things. So what is that? That's lashon hara. So it says that anyone who does that, Lakel of Tashlichun also. What's interesting is that the pasuk is what? Lo sisa shema shav. Don't bear false witness, or don't say something false. Don't make heard. Don't tell someone something false. What is lashon hara?
It's true.
It's true. So how is this false? Right. So how is this lo sisa shema shav if lashon hara is telling something true? So the big yisod, the Chavetz Chaim wants to say from this. He says the following. He says, "Upashut hu delavze kol afil lashon hara al dvar ebes mishum she'atorah yorde lasof das amesaper." Because the Torah understands what's the one who's telling the truth. Shekevad shehu besaper tadosav shelo bifnei baldino. Because when he is making his claims, not in front of the litigant or the person. Let's say if I'm speaking about you, if I'm saying something negative about you, Brad, to someone else, no, I should say it to you because you might have a different view. In other words, if I'm going to say lashon hara, you know what? I'll always mix it something false. Even if I'm telling something negative, something's all true, I'm going to embellish it a little bit. I think I actually remember that was one of the ways I think some of the Farshim understood. Let's say by the Meraglim, right? You know, it's their opinion. We can't cross into Eretz Yisrael. And they started off telling the truth, or the facts, and their belief, their opinion based on that, and then they started telling a bunch of lies about some of the people and their job, whatever the case was. Right, you tell a lie. So he's saying more than that. I said, even if you only, sometimes you use the truth as an excuse to start telling lies. Right, that's true. I think what the Chavetz Chaim is saying, even if you only want to tell the truth, It's not going to happen. Once you have this evil intent, you're always going to mix the lies. That's what he's saying. It's important you saw it. Okay, so he said that therefore he says what to throw him to the dogs. So why are you throwing him to the dogs? Like again, the psukim are connected. The Meiri says that because you're not human, you're not fit to be called an adam achar hamavis nimshalka behemas nidbe. You're like an animal because that's what he says. Presumably, the distinction between man and animal is one of the primary things. What is speech? So if we don't use our speech properly, so we're just like an animal. I mean, that's what distinguishes us from animals, seems to me. Okay, so now, back to lashes, flogging. Okay, I'm going to run through the rest of this. Ushtei Ritzuos. Now you have, there were two straps. So Tana, now then you have, these straps are also made from a chamor, from a donkey. Because the Darish Haidu Glila, like this Galilean Darshan, Ale de Rav Chista, in front of Rav Chista, Yada Shor Koneo Vachamor Ebus Baalav Yisrael Lo Yada, Amar Kaddish. So it says that when Yishayahu is chastising Klal Yisrael, he says the ox knows his master, the donkey knows the trough, you know, where his owner's of his owner, where he's going to be fed. And Klal Yisrael don't even know, don't know me. We're worse than animals. Amar Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yavo Misha Makru Avis Ba'olav. Let's say someone who recognizes, you know, the place where his food is, and that's the donkey, the para, I mean Misha no Makru Avis Ba'olav, and he should exact punishment on someone who doesn't recognize where his food comes from. That's the sinner who doesn't recognize his master and he violates his will. And the skin of the donkey, that's where the straps come to hit the sitter. Okay. So that's from this pasuk here. It says Yadashar Kreya Vachamor Evus Ba'alav. I brought here Matsudas David who says from Yishayahu, so he quotes two things, the ox and the donkey. Why don't you use the donkey? So he says that the donkey is more foolish. The shore recognized his owner that acquired him. The donkey only cares about, he's more foolish, he only knows where his food is. So he's even more, but he still goes there for his benefit. So it's our benefit to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to listen to him, because we do what he says, and that we live good lives. And we're not listening, so the donkey is so much more foolish than us, does what he should do, so we should, so that's sort of like, that's the imagery there. Okay, so now the Mishnah is now going to talk about the strap. It says Yada Tefach. So the handle is a Tefach. And Omar Abaye, and then it says that the top of it should reach your stomach. It should be long enough so you can hit the person on his stomach. Omar Abaye, Shmamina, Chad, Kol Chad V'Chad, Lufum Gabi Abdinalei. So basically, we make each strap according to how wide the person is. If the person is wider, then we make a longer strap. If he's not as wide, then we make a thinner strap. I'm like, Rav, I'm okay, not for the Ritzulis Tuva. You're going to have too many straps. It's an issue. So then we answer, Alam
Rav. They're making straps for the person itself.
Well, that's what he's suggesting. He said that's a little wasteful. So he says, Alam Rav, Avkasa. No, you make like you make a knot in it, and you tighten it depending on how wide the person is. You have one strap, and you can make the knot. You know,
It's adjustable.
Thank you. Adjustable strap. Okay. Then the Mishnah also says, "Malkino." So you do 1/3 in front and 2/3 in the back. So Menani Mili, well, how do you know this? That you have 1/3 in the front and 2/3 in the back? So the Rav Kahana says the Amar Krak, the pasuk says v'pilu ashofif v'kol afanav kadei v'shasu b'mispar, that the judge should hit him in front of him according to his wickedness with the number. So risha achas milafanav. So again, so lefanav means in front of him, lefanav kadei v'shasu one v'shasu. So then, and shtei reshios ba'achrav. How you know two? So you know two because presumably the next number, the number, mispar in the back, the next number That's what I think who says this. That's the Malbim, I think, says that I don't have it in my sources here, but the Rivan says right here, one second. Yeah, the Rivan says mispar shtei rishus me'acharav. In other words, mispar, a number, not like lefana, not the one k'dei rishaso. So the next number is probably two. That's how we get one in front and two in back. Ein malkin also. So you don't hit him standing or sitting, but you bent over. Amrav chista, amrav yochanan minan leritzua shehi muchpel. That's how you know that's doubled over. Shemar vehi pilo, and don't read it vehi pilo, but read it vehich pilo, doubled. Ask the Gemara, Bahamid Baile Lagufe, but shouldn't the word vipilo is needed to teach you this halacha that it should be bent, right? Vipilo, it should like fall on him, being a little bent. The Gemara says, no, im kain, lichtov kra, yatehu, it should say, not vipilo, it said viatehu. That's the standard language for being bent is not vihipilo. Hipilo means to fall over. The standard language of being bent is viyatehu. So what's this lashon of vihipilo? So again, the Torah is very rich when it comes to its language. It's not, there are multiple words that can mean the same thing, but when you use a different word, it can mean multiple things. So the Gemara says, so vihipilo shmabina tarte. We learned two things. We learned number one, they should be bent. And number two, we learned what? That it should be doubled. The strap should be doubled. Hamake make biyado. So then if you hit him, so you hit him with one hand with all your might. Okay? So then we have a debate here. What kind of person should be giving the lashes? What do you think? What do you think? What kind of person should give the lashes? Anyone? Do you want a strong guy, a weak guy? What do you want? What do you think?
If I'm getting him, I want a weak person.
If you're getting him, you want a weak person. Okay. Well, if you get right, but what do you think the Torah wants? If the maybe right, okay. So the Tanur Rabbanan. It's an interesting debate about this. Tanur Rabbanan. What? No, don't mention the coin. I'm saying in terms of, like, do you want a does the Torah want the guy who's getting it? Obviously, wants a weak guy. Does the Torah want a really strong guy to do it? So Tanur Rabbanan, Eima Midim Chazadim Ella Chasire Koach V'Yisere Madai. We want someone who's what? He's not so strong. And he is someone who is, he has a lot of yeshuva das. He's very calm. He's not going to go crazy. Right? Yeser be yeshuv hadas. Why is that? What if the guy wouldn't have, so what's the concern? Let's say you have a really strong guy and someone who doesn't have a lot of, he gets a little excited. He's not someone who's like cool, calm, and collected. What are we concerned about?
So, number one, he may not do the knuckles, yeah. Right? And number two, because he needs one in front, two in the back.
Okay. He might do it wrong, yeah. I think it's more than that. I think he might kill him. We're concerned. The Meiri says something. The Meiri says, he says, Eivedem also Ella. Right. We never know like who should be the executioner, who should be this one. Like, are there qualities for these people? So he says, "Yasib yishuvadas v'chas v'koch meisha malke tzarich lahakos b'chol kocho." You're supposed to do with all your strength. V'im atamami chaser das v'yaser b'koach shema yivela sakara. So we're concerned about killing the guy. That's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about killing the guy. So that's the Tanakhama's position. Rabbi Huda is not so concerned. He says, "The filu chasir madavi seri koach." He says, "No, you don't have to be so particular about it. We're not going to get it wrong." And on Rava Kavasi, Rabbi Huda mistabrat. Rabbi Huda's position makes sense. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lo Yosef pen Yosef." The Torah says, "Don't." The double language, right? Don't add. Rabbi Kana, don't add. So the Torah is warning the person who's hitting him that he shouldn't do too much. If you say we're talking about someone who's not so calm and collective, so that it makes sense why the Torah is warning you. Torah is warning you, pen Yosef, lo Yosef, presumably why? Because anyone's allowed to do it, so that's why the Torah has to warn you. If someone was cool, calm, and collected, why does the Torah tell you, oh, don't do too much, don't give too many lashes? Eliyim Rad, you say, if someone knows what he's doing, So then, mi tzarich latzure? Who says you have to ward him? So Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan respond? Says ein mizarzim ela mizoros. No, the Torah is warding even those who are careful. You never know. Even someone who's like, we're very concerned about pikuach nefesh here. We're very concerned about danger, so someone has to be cool, calm, and collected. And the Torah is warning you. Okay. So, tada, kishu magbia, magbia b'shtei yad. When you raise this strap, you raise with two hands. Ushu makeh, and when he hits it, maka b'yodo achas. You only hit him with one hand. Kiech delese mididei. So it comes from your power, your strength. So you want it to hit him hard, but you don't want to kill him. So now, vakore kore. Okay, so now we're going to say, so how does this work there? So tada rabbanan. See, we're going to see there are three people who are saying stuff. Hagadol sheba deyadim kore. So they're psukim. They're psukim that's being read. So one guy is reading psukim. Hasheni mona. The second one is counting the malchus. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then vashlishi omer hakehu. Okay, so you got three people. One guy's reading the psukim, another one is doing the count, and another one is just saying hit, hit, hit. Okay, bisman she makam ruba. At a time where there's a lot of hitting, where there are a lot of malchus, see it's all 39. Marich, then the guy who's reading the psukim will get a nice nigun for the psukim. We'll say like nice in a way, like it takes a long time, get a nice chazan, a real chazan, to say the psukim really long when they're hitting him. And then he says, what?
You want it to run out?
I think they want to, I think they just want to finish, start and finish. They want to whip him when they're saying the psukim. So that's really the goal here. So uvizmancha makamuatas, and when you're hitting him not that much, then mikatsa, then you read it quickly because you want to finish. You're saying, you're saying what I'm doing now is the fulfillment of these psukim, of this divine commandment by God. So the Gevahada Tanan, Chodet Chila Sabikra, but does the Mishnah say that, it doesn't say that you should just lengthen. The Mishnah says, if you finish reading all the psukim, you start from the beginning. So what's this lengthening? So the Gemara says, Mitzvah Letzamtzem, V'ilo Tzimtzem Chodet Chila Sabikra. It says, really, yeah, what you should try to do is finish your reading, do it all in one shot. Finish the reading of the psukim with the last lash, last flogging. And then, but if you finish beforehand, then you start from the beginning again. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Tadu Rabbanan. Sorry. Okay. So Tadu Rabbanan. It says the following. It says, Arba Mekena lo Yosef, Pen Yosef lo Hakos al Eila Makaraba. It says, Pen Yosef Makaraba. You should hit him a Makaraba. Eli Ella Makaraba. I learned that it's forbidden for the one to hit him a makaraba, like a lot more than what he was evaluated to be hit. Makamuetes, let's say you hit him two extra lashes or one, bidayin. How do you know that's also forbidden? Tabalobar, Patzik says, what? Arbar b'yaken lo yosef, you can't add to anything. So the Im Kane, ma tabalomar makaraba. So why does it say makaraba? If it says you can't add anything, what does it mean makaraba? Limit al rishon she makaraba. No, the first ones, when you're hitting him, has to be makaraba. Make sure you don't add any. Okay. The last part, the last 5 minutes, we're going to discuss the embarrassing factor. This kalkel. If someone gets embarrassed during the malchus, whether maybe either by defecating or by urinating during the malchus, so that might be it. So the Tadar Abadar, the Brisa says, Echad ish v'echad isha berei. So both the man and the woman, if they defecate in the middle of the lashes, so that's it, they go free. Velo b'mayim, but not if they simply urinate. Divrei Meir, that's what Meir's position. Rehudo Meir ha'ish berei, the man is, if he, for him, it's always sufficient embarrassment if he defecates. Isha b'mayim, if the woman urinates, then she goes free. The Chachamim say, Echad ish v'echad isha, the Chachamim say, no, both of them, even if they defecate or urinate, then they're done with the lashes. For Hatanya, so what do they say? Like, they give you a nice ball of water beforehand so you can It's like, okay, but, you know, so that's you get out of it, because that's embarrassing. V'atanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Ha'ish V'Echad Ha'isha B'rei. But wait, but there's a brisa which says, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that both the man and the woman go scot-free, you know, if they only, it seems, only if they defecate. So that seems that it goes against what he said in the, what he said above, which says the difference between a man and a woman. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Shnehem Shavim Berei. No, both of them are equal when it comes to they defecate. If they both defecate, so either one defecates and they go scot free. But they're different when it comes to urinating, where a woman goes free and a man does not go free. Now, there are a few other cases of embarrassment that you also go free. So Amar Shmuel Kifatuhu Varatz be based in Patur. Let's say that they tie him up to, right, they tie him up to give him lashes, and then one of the ropes breaks, and he runs from Basted. He's Patur. He's done. Why would you think he's done? Why would he be done by that? Why would you think he'd be done?
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention. Okay. God's right. The Rivad says the what?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. The Nikla, Karita Bay, the he's already been embarrassed. The fact is that the ropes ripped and he went through that whole process. So that's sufficient.
The ropes tying him down.
The ropes tying. Yeah. It's embarrassing to him. I know. It's like the whole process is embarrassing to him.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah.
His fleeing may be embarrassing too.
Sorry? Yeah, he had to run away. That was also embarrassing.
Not, you know, you can't take it like a man.
Right. Yeah, he's not like, this is the whole thing is embarrassing to him. So the Mace Faye, what?
Who's he being embarrassed
for? Everyone's watching him. People are watching him.
The whole town?
Yeah. Yeah, they're watching him. So Mace Faye. So we have a price though. It says, Kala, Beidba Rishoda, Bein Bishnia, Potridoso. Let's say he's embarrassed because he defecated. If this was with the first time with the strap or the second time, he goes free. Nifzika Ritsua, if the strap breaks and he's being hit, Bishnia Potrimoso, the second strap he becomes exempt. But Rishoda ain't Potrimoso. But let's say the strap they're about to hit him with, if that breaks, he doesn't go free. If they haven't hit him yet once. Amai, why? Leheve Karatz, it should be like he ran. No. Hasa Ruts. So it's what Marty was saying. There, if he broke free and then he ran away and he was embarrassed because he ran away, probably like what you're saying, that it's actually what's interesting is the running that's embarrassing to him. Like he feels so scared, right? So that is Vidikla Chichaleidecha. But Hacha lo Ruts, he didn't run, he didn't get embarrassed, just a strap broke. So that's not a reason. For him to be exempt. Tanur Rabbanan, Abaduhu lich sheyilka kala potridoso. If they estimated, they evaluated him, that when he, if they think that he will get embarrassed, he will defecate, let's say, right after he gets hit, okay, then potridoso, he doesn't get lashes at all. Lich sheyetze mi based in kala malkinoso. But if they say that, no, when he leaves court, then he's gonna defecate because he's so embarrassed. Then we do give it to him. It's only in basin itself. They believe that as a result of hitting it, he's going to defecate, and he, even if he doesn't do it yet, but they value it, then he is poltrid. And then velo od elafilu kala batchila. Even if he was so scared about it that he defecated first, it doesn't make a difference. Malkinoso, he gets malchus. Shadabar fi kol v'nikla. You have to have in the process of hitting below shakala kvarma based it. It's not that you were embarrassed beforehand. They have to put you, strap you up, and only after that, then you get embarrassed, and only in that case do you go scot free. Okay, we will stop here. Okay, everyone, have a good night. Kenny, Alan, good to see you, Marty, Mark, Howie. Okay, shkoyach, everyone.
Good night.